He has shown thee, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of thee? But to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. When I was asked to speak for the next 3 weeks here, God hit me out of the blue with that. And he said, I want you to speak on that for 3 weeks. So this morning we'll do a little bit of background and we'll look at what it is to do justly. Next week we'll look at what it is to have mercy, and the following week we'll look at what it is to walk humbly with our God. Now, I'm not known for long sermons, but it's fairly meaty once you get into it. A little bit of background on Micah. Micah was a prophet to the northern kingdom of Israel. You may remember that Israel broke off into the northern kingdom of Israel and the southern kingdom of Judah. And by and large, the northern kingdom was pretty obstropolous before God. And they copped a beating for it. Jesus came through the southern kingdom, through the tribe of Judah. Now, Micah lived and prophesied during the time of Isaiah, about 737, 38 years before Christ. He's classified as one of the minor prophets, and yet in his prophecy, he really gives the northern kingdom a hiding. And he also prophesies where Christ would be born, in Bethlehem Ephrata. What's so important about Bethlehem Ephrata? There were two Bethlehems. There was a Bethlehem in the northern kingdom, which was near Nazareth. And then there was a Bethlehem in the southern kingdom, which was near Jerusalem. And that one in the southern kingdom was where Jacob buried Rachel, on the Ephrata road. So very interesting that Micah listened to God and he could speak with accuracy as to even which Bethlehem the king would be born in. So although he's classified as a minor prophet, I think he's a pretty major prophet too, because he listened to God. And if you read, and I want you to do this as homework, read the book of Micah. It's only a short book, but you'll find it interesting. And as we lead up to Micah 6, you'll find, what can we do to appease God? And Micah says, he has shown you, O man, what is good. Now, my Hebrew is non-existent, so I use the what's called the LXX, the Septuagint, which is the Greek translation of the Old Testament. And very interesting there, he has shown thee, O man, what is good. The word used there is anthropos, which refers to all mankind. It's not adelphos, which is brothers, and it's not andros, which is an individual man. It's anthropos. He has shown thee, O mankind, what is good. And what does God require of you? Now, what is good? That's an interesting word too. Because good and evil have no absolute. There is no absolute marker between them. What is good for me may be evil for you. What is good for you may be evil for me. There is no scale. Adam and Eve ate of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. But in God's sight, it was a tree of death. In the day that you eat of it, you shall die. As opposed to the tree of life. So as a result of Adam and Eve eating from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, okay, we have knowledge of good and evil, but we don't have an absolute. But here, Micah says, he has shown you, O mankind, what is good. What is his requirement of you? And the first thing is to do justly. Now, what is justice? We've had a lot of injustices around the world. People not being treated as people. Not being treated as God's creation. We are all equal. I was talking to one of the workers from the store the other day, and this guy is proud of his Aboriginality. And I said, you black fella, me white fella. But cut our skin, we are the same. I said, we've all got green blood. And he laughed. We are the same. There's a lot of injustice in the world because of race. A lot of injustice in the world because of religion. Thank God he doesn't believe in religion. That's something of man's making. God says this is the way of life. There's a lot of injustice because of prosperity and lack of it. That's why the Salvation Army is so involved in welfare. Because there is injustice. And praise God, we have the opportunity as individuals to address some of those injustices and to be the hands and feet of God and bring justice. I wouldn't be alone if I said I've had great concerns over the situation with boat people. I believe there's been a lot of injustice there. Our governments, of whatever party, have shown injustice. It's a big question how to deal with it. I believe we might now be headed in the right way because our governments are looking at treating them as people and more concerned about saving their lives. How they do it? I'm glad I don't have to make that decision. But we have to make decisions about justice and showing justice every day in our relationships with people. It's very easy for us to look down on someone and say, oh, you're not as good as I am. Or look up to someone and say, I'm not as good as you are. Crap. In God's sight, every person on this earth has a soul that is given by God. And that soul makes us equal in his sight. And because we are brothers and sisters, we are anthropos. We are mankind. What does God require of us? To do justly. Now that takes an act of will. And oftentimes, that act of will may cost reputation, may cost us financially. So what? We are the hands and feet of God. We are the hands and feet of Jesus Christ. He set the example for us. And he said, do as I do. And I'll send my spirit to help you. Now for us to do as he does, as he did, and for him to do it through us, we need to be in relationship with God. Because only then can we show true justice. Only then can we be Jesus Christ in this earth. And being in relationship means spending time in his word and in his presence. That's why I'm so emphatic about prayer being communication. He has shown thee, O man, what is good. What is good? And what does God require of us to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with our God?